This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And the Lord has been gracious to the Old Trailblazer, giving us grace to be true to your soul, giving us grace to stand firm, not to compromise God's word. And I have folks write me, call me from all over America, up and down the country, and say, Pastor Trailblazer, we're glad you're holding to the line. We have so much modernism now in and around where we live. The church where I have been attending is just so shallow, so modern, and so easy believingism that we can't hardly stand it. But I'm glad that someone out there, the Old Trailblazer, holding the line, holding our feet to the fire, that you must be born again, holding your feet to the fire, that if the Lord never calls you, you'll never be saved. Oh, folks get mad with me when I tell them that the Lord is sovereign and does as he wills and chooses whom he will. But let's not get into that. We're looking at the series on Revelation at this time. And I've told you a couple of times, we're coming down close to the end. I believe we got about 10 or 12 more messages. And then we'll move on to something else. And the Lord is blessing. We're looking at the great white throne judgment. Folks say, well, I don't want to hear about that. I have folks tell me, don't speak about death. Don't say anything to me about death. No, they don't want to hear about death. But the soul, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. And I know I conduct several funerals a year, and I lay my hand on the cold brow of that individual lying there in that coffin. And then I tell folks, this person is not here. They've gone on. If they knew the Lord, they've gone on to be with the Lord, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if they did not ever come to know the Lord, their soul is fixed somewhere, and it cannot be prayed out of some imaginary place where it's resting. No, sir. No, sir. Because eternal. Death is eternal. The scripture says, Paul speaking, where death finds you, eternity will hold you. It's a paraphrasing, of course. But listen, let's get back to our study. We begin to look there at the great white throne judgment. And the Apostle John, there on the Isle of Patmos, taking down all that the Lord dictated to him. He said there, it's in the 20th verse, 20th chapter, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's final, isn't it? That's final, isn't it? Have you ever had something go home to your heart that's final? You can't change that. No, that's final. I hear these judges. I've been on juries where a man committed murder, and the judge would say, life in prison without any chance of parole or pardon. That's final, isn't it? That's final. That's right. I helped convict a man 50 years ago, and he's still there, unless he died. Fine. Yeah, he killed a 14-year-old boy just for no reason at all. But let's see. As he said, I saw the small and the great. And I mentioned in our last study that these two verses in God's Word, I want to read them. The first one, and many of them is Daniel 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Then another selection says in John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We notice here in these two passages three words that I want to look at for just a moment. I mentioned that to you in our last study. Listen now. Three words, shame, everlasting contempt, and damnation, which means condemnation. Let's notice that word shame. Raised to shame. This means raised to disgrace and dishonor with such consciousness of guilt, of having done something unworthy. And when we think of shame, we think of exposure of all the guilt, the corruption, the vileness, and the wickedness of the individual as he stands in the light of the presence of the holy God. Now here is a word, contempt. Contempt. Set forth here in God's word, everlasting contempt. Contempt is a state of being despised, conscious of the fact that this one is mean and vile and worthless and wretched and disgraced and despised and naked, and he becomes a laughing stock and is contemptuously held up to ridicule. But I also look at that state of contempt. You know what we have now in our day? There's so much contempt. Folks hold God's word in contempt. They hold God's pastor in contempt. What makes a contrast to those raised in the first resurrection in the likeness of the Son of God? Now let's notice, what a contrast to those raised in the first resurrection in the likeness of the Son of God. That last word, or third word, damnation, or condemnation, which means exposed to everlasting punishment, being pronounced to be wrong, to judge guilty, unfit for use, doomed to an everlasting, well-deserved punishment. Now, what a picture. What a picture we see here. What a scene set before us. Our prayer is, O God, O Lord, open the eyes of the blinded multitude today, that they may see their awful ruined condition, that they may turn by faith to Christ for salvation, while there is yet opportunity to be saved in the day of grace. Let me tell you something, folks. The old trailblazer has many, many burdens. But the greatest burden that I have is for you who know not the Lord. For my own family, my children and grandchildren, and my siblings, all of those who tell me they're not saved, maybe some who don't tell me, but I see them living a life that does not represent being saved. My greatest horror and my greatest fear is that one day they'll be standing there. They'll have to stand there before that great white throne. Now, let me tell you something, folks. The trailblazer is not a theologian. The trailblazer is not a learned professor. I don't know where Noah's Ark is. I don't know how long it was. I don't know how wide the Red Sea is or how deep it was. I don't know any of those things, and I don't really want to know. But I know one thing. The Bible is true, and folks are going to stand before the great white throne judgment to be judged. Oh, listen. All of those horrendous things that we have described coming down through the scriptures here about the Antichrist and the day of tribulation and the destruction and the rivers turn to blood and the moon turn to blood and all of those things pale into insignificance to the thoughts that I have of folks plunging into hell. I see folks. I guess you'd call it a great imagination. I see folks standing on the rim of hell, ready to be cast there. And there's no concern there. I see folks, plunging out into eternity day after day. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon my folks, my congregation, my radio audience. Folks all over this nation, from El Paso, Texas, to Bangor, Maine, from Seattle, Washington, to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, crisscrossing our nation, from Grand Rapids, Michigan, to Gulfport, Mississippi. All across this nation, wherever you could draw a line, we have folks who write me and tell me that they're not saved. Many of them support this ministry graciously, give of their substance here to get out the gospel, and yet they tell me that they're not saved. And I ask, why? Why? And I tell you why. The Bible says, God says, you will not come to me that you might have life. Ye willed, W-I-L-L-E-D, willed not to come to me that you might have life. Oh, my friend, the scripture is so full of those gracious invitations for the come to Christ. Come on to Christ. Many, many times I quote that verse that says, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth gather her chicks, and ye would not. And I cry out in the same vein, Oh, you listeners of the old trailblazer, Oh, you members of First Baptist Church of Algiers and all of its missions and preaching places, and all of you who hear the voice of truth, Oh, those of you who are not saved, how oft has the Lord called you? How oft has the old trailblazer grieved over you? How oft have I cried over you? Come on and trust the Lord, and you would not. Listen, the Lord says he waits to be gracious. Did you know the Lord is waiting to be gracious today? But, and I've told you often, the old trailblazer is a realist. I'm not some fanatic with my head in the sand. I know why folks are not saved. They're not willing to be broken at the feet of Christ, crying for mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know why? Because they love this present evil world. You love it, my friend. If you're not saved, you love this present evil world. And the Lord has commissioned and ordained that his pastors and preachers come forth preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? Man is a sinner, and Christ died for sinners. I brought a message last week on that particular scripture that the Lord said, the whole need not a physician. No, if you're fine and footloose and fancy free and have no problems and know nothing, see nothing wrong with your lifestyle, you're not coming to Christ because you're happy as you are. No, you'll say, I'm rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, just like the old farmer did. Where shall I do with all my crops? And I know what I'll do, he said. I'll tear down these old barns and I'll build bigger ones. And I'll put my grain in there and I'll have much goods laid up for many years. And I'll say to my soul, 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 eat, drink, and be merry. And you know what the scripture says? Oh, one of those verses that you cannot go around. The Lord said, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. My listener friend, oh, you up there in Lexington, Kentucky, you up there in Memphis, Knoxville, and Nashville, you up there in Huntsville, West Virginia, you up there, what if the Lord said to you, this night thy soul shall be required of thee? Where would you go? What would you do? Oh, it's too late to pray. Too late to pray, my friend. No, it's not. Not too late. Fall on your face, asking the Lord to grant you grace, to call on the Lord. Don't go off on a tangent. Don't get all worked up. You got to speak in tongues. You got to pray through. You got to do this. You got to do that. No. You know what you have to do? Come to Christ as a poor old lost sinner, begging for mercy. Yes, I said begging for mercy. Begging. You know it's not a shame to beg. It's not a crime to beg. No. No. I've met those beggars there in New Orleans, hungry, dirty, filthy. They don't have a problem with saying, Pastor, have you got a dollar for a hamburger? Pastor, have you got a cup of coffee in there in the office? We're cold and wet and hungry. That's what a person that sees himself like that. He don't have any trouble begging? No. My friend, why don't you just ask the Lord? Do you want to stand there one day and hear those words? Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart. Oh, and like I said, that's the horror. That's the thing that chills my bones, my friend, to know that some of you are standing on the thin ice. On that thin ice, maybe you're on a false profession there. Don't have any evidence of knowing the Lord except you joined the church back there when you're 7 or 8 years old. Don't go to hell over that, folks. Don't do that. That's not salvation. But the old trailblazer is going to be honest with you until the Lord takes my last breath. I wish you'd write me. Tell me if you're listening. Just let me know if you're listening out there, what station you're listening. I'll give you more information about the internet broadcast on our next service. Remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, post office box, 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.